Hello, ramblers and gamblers. Josh Rosenthal here. Thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing IG at Rambling and Gambling, and the old email, ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Two really interesting people on the pod today. Rufus Peabody is back. We love Rufus here on the RNG pod. You can find him over at unabated.com. He's also a co-host of the Bet the Process pod. Rufus is doing our main NFL interview today. Then Alex Kane is coming on. Alex is the CEO and founder of Sport Trade, which is a sports betting exchange that just launched. So this is kind of like Robinhood, but for sports, not stocks. It's a really cool idea. It's also something I think is going to become more and more prevalent as the gambling world evolves. And so I'm pumped to have Alex on explaining what exactly Sport Trade is. Let's get things started with Rufus. Let me tell you, it is not every day that you get to welcome back on your podcast the pride of Alexandria, Virginia, Rufus Peabody. Rufus, you know, I always like to say that when you come on because it gets a good reaction out of you generally. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I haven't been back to Alexandria, I don't think, since, not for a while, but Thanksgiving last year.
Producer Parrish and I were in Alexandria yesterday and we passed by your alma mater. And I was like, man, it's so funny. This keeps happening. Every time Rufus is on the pod, we end up in Alexandria. So go figure. Anyway, man.
Now, though.
Yeah. Different name. It is different. It was Alexandria City High now. For all those who I'm sure were very, very curious about that. Let's start here, man. I thought this was interesting. Three games into this young NFL season, five of eight division leaders, teams that at least have a share of their division lead, aren't actually favored by bookmakers to hold on and win their division when it's all said and done. Those teams include Miami. They just beat the Bills, but the Bills are still pretty heavy favorites in the AFC East. Also, Cleveland, Jacksonville, Denver, and Minnesota all are at worst tied for first, and only the Vikings at plus 155 on FanDuel are shorter than 2-1. Rufus, I feel like maybe there's an opportunity to find some value in there somewhere. Maybe the books are slow to respond to some teams actually being better than anticipated, or maybe it's just noise and the books have it right. You have any thoughts on this one?
Well, it's been a really, really interesting start to the season, and the fact that there are two undefeated teams, I believe.
Yeah.
And there's, I think every single team in the NFC East has, or the NFC and the NFC East has at least one win. So there's been a lot of parity. That doesn't necessarily mean that all the teams are even, and a team like the Giants is actually a 2-1 quality team. So I think that right now you really do need to stick to sort of your priors and update cautiously. You know, I think that three games of football definitely tells you something. I mean, we've learned a lot about the Jaguars in that time, but it's still only three games of football. And so in terms of finding value on futures, what I do is I use my own ratings and I plug them into the Massey Peabody NFL season simulator. And I haven't done that yet, actually. I just updated my ratings this morning for last week's games. So I'm actually looking forward to doing that and looking for futures value this afternoon after I get off the show with you guys.
Funny you mentioned the Jags, because that was the one team out of those that I named that I was like, maybe there's some value in there, 2-1. The Colts haven't looked very good. And the preseason, I kind of like the Jags anyway. So I don't know. That was the one that I was high in more than the others.
Oh, I mean, I bet the Jags to win their division before the season began. I also bet a lot of other teams to win their division that are not looking as good. Just so. But the Jags, like, I think it was like 28-1, maybe. So it was a pretty juicy price
to win their division.
Maybe I'm misremembering. It was a very high price, though.
Yeah, that's a lot better than 2-1. All right, let's talk a little week three. This is going to be a lot like when you're on midseason. Last year, I sent you over a few games. I'll give you the odds, a little bit of setup, and then just take it absolutely anywhere you want to go. First up, Buffalo in Baltimore. As of Tuesday afternoon, FanDuel has the Bills favored by 3.5. The over-under is 51.5. Both these teams, 2-1. Buffalo, despite losing last week, still the favorite to win it all. FanDuel, for instance, they're 5-1. Baltimore is 14-1 for the Super Bowl, although Lamar has really rocketed up the MVP charts. FanDuel now has him at plus 550 to win it, which is only behind Josh Allen, who's at 3-1. Rufus, what do you think of this matchup?
I mean, I think it's a matchup of two AFC titans. The Bills are clearly the best team in the NFL, despite all the injuries. And right now, that's basically what is a big hindrance for them right now, just a lot of injuries. But they've been above average in every facet of the game so far this season. Baltimore, on the other hand, has been very, very good on offense, but has struggled a little bit on defense. I think what's interesting to me here is Buffalo coming off of that really, really intense, exhausting, epic game against Miami, where they ran 90 offensive plays in the heat, where at the end of the game, it looked like, you know, if the game went a few more plays, nobody would be able to line up to snap the ball. So I think that, and I guess we'll eventually get to the Thursday night game where that might have an impact on Miami too. But I certainly think that that could have an impact a little bit. And I don't know if the market's pricing that in exactly, but my numbers, my team ratings, which this is not incorporating all the injuries to the Bills, players, but I make Buffalo a 2.5 point favorite. So I would have to say, especially with the angles you could, I guess, argue for in terms of, the injuries and then the Bills coming off of that epic game on Sunday, you know, that Baltimore is an even stronger play.
I like that a lot. And actually, I am going to bring up the Thursday night game here in a little bit. So hang tight. We're right there, man. I'm right there with you. I think you've probably seen this stat talking about the Bills. Since the start of last season, they're 0-6 in games decided by 8 points or less. The only other winless team over that span in one-score games is the Texans. Should bettors be concerned about the Bills' ability to win in close games, in particular as we get later in the season, or is that just a small sample size type of deal?
No, not at all. I would not be concerned in the slightest. You know, there's been research showing that teams' records in one-score games from year to year, you know, has no real predictive value. So if a team was bad one year, they're not necessarily going to be bad the subsequent year. So it really just is which way the ball bounces largely. And so I think if anything, that says that Buffalo is actually a stronger team than the record has indicated the last year plus.
Next game, KC, another road favorite, now given 1.5 points in Tampa. As recently as this morning, it was 2.5 points, but now it's 1.5, at least on FanDuel. Over-under's 45.5. Both these squads coming off their first losses of the season, Rufus. What do you think?
So this is a game where I feel like my number on Tampa Bay is going to be a little bit off, just given how banged up they are on offense. I believe they're getting Mike Evans back from suspension.
Yeah,
which is nice because, you know, they really have nobody at wide receiver right now. And so I think I have Tampa rated as the second best team in football. And I think that really is largely predicated on the fact that, you know, I expected them to be healthier. And this is a team-based rating system. So it's not incorporating those injuries and really specific personnel changes in the offseason. So I show quite a large edge towards Tampa Bay here. I make them a 3.5 point favorite. I wouldn't say that that's, gun to my head, that's probably not what the line should be, but, you know, hopefully I'm directionally correct here at least.
It sounds like you're betting Tampa nonetheless, though.
Yes.
Okay, that's an interesting one. Let's do this one that I know at least you and I will be mildly interested in, Rufus. The dreaded Dallas Cowboys given 3.5 at home against the Commanders. Over-under's 42.5. What do you think of that one?
So this, I mean, I think this is a very interesting game in terms of the narratives and sort of the reaction to how Cooper Rush has played in the absence of Dak Prescott. And I think a lot of people expected a very large impact, in a negative way for the Cowboys there. But we've seen, I think Cooper Rush is ranked, I believe I saw he's sixth in QBR so far this season, which obviously isn't likely to last, but Washington, on the other hand, and I'm not even going to say Commanders because I hate that name, but they've been awful. They've been dreadful absolutely everywhere except play success on defense. But again, it's three games, and so I think there's overreactions on both. I don't think Cooper Rush is as good as he's been, and I don't think Washington is quite as bad as they've been. I still think that overall the downgrade from Dak Prescott is large enough to make this line a little bit too high, in my opinion. I don't think Cowboys should be getting a field goal here. So, especially given that it is a divisional game, which there's less home field advantage in divisional games. Washington has played at the Jerry World Dome many times. There's that familiarity there.
Cooper Rush is sixth in QBR. So nice to recall on that one, Rufus. Are you talking big picture about Washington? You know, a lot of fans, at least locally, clamoring for Jack Del Rio, the defensive coordinator, to go. Are you of the mind that some kind of big scale change has to happen and soon?
Yeah, I don't think Ron Rivera is the answer. I think they need an overhaul completely. You know, he's not a very progressive minded coach. You know, I get that he's bringing culture in and stability to an organization that had very little of it, but I don't think he's the answer if you want to win football games. And I think Jack Del Rio is certainly a part of that. And I don't think his Twitter helps unify the team either.
Yeah, well, yeah, I imagine not. I do question, especially with everything going on off the field with this team, if Dan Snyder would pull the trigger and get rid of Rivera midseason. But I guess you never know. If the losses pile up, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so, but I mean, especially given, you know, what Ron Rivera's gone through. I mean, on a personal level, I think that, you know, that would be peak Dan Snyder if he did that.
Fair enough. By the way, I jokingly gave out Carson Wentz MVP odds after that week one comeback. He was 75-1 at the time. He is now 150-1. So kind of took a predictable turn there, didn't it?
Yeah.
Monday nighter, Rams getting 2.5 in San Francisco. The over under is 42.5. Rams 2-1, Niners 1-2. You have anything on this one?
I don't. I think the line is approximately where it should be. I make the Niners a 1-point favorite. I think the Niners are still a little bit better with Garoppolo at quarterback than Trey Lance in the short term, though. Clearly, that, you know, I think that Trey Lance is, if Trey Lance was close to Garoppolo level, that's more valuable for the team, just given the fact that he's on a rookie deal. But clearly they did not play well last week in Denver, and the Rams have looked good so far.
Almost had a scoregami in Denver last week, for those who care. The final score was 11-10. That is only the second time in NFL history a game has finished 11-10. Per NFL research, not easy to do.
I actually looked up, when I saw the score, I was like, I wonder if that's the score got me. So I actually Googled it to find out, and I was disappointed that it was not.
You and me both, man. I did the same thing. I thought it might be. All right, last one we're going to hit in this section, although we are going to get to the Thursday nighter. I think this could be a really fun game, actually. The suddenly frisky Jacksonville Jags getting 6.5 in Philly, over-under 48.5. The Jags 2-1, but could very easily be 3-0 if it weren't for a Carson Wentz-led comeback in week one. And Philly, they've looked unstoppable. They're undefeated, Rufus.
Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville has been above average in every facet of the game on both offense and defense, and Philadelphia is basically almost the same. They have been below average slightly in terms of rushing offense, and they've been quite poor in terms of rushing defense. But I do think the Jaguars are for real. I think that with all the coaching staff changes, you know, it's hard to undersell how bad Urban Meyer was for that organization last year. And I think that clearly we're seeing right now a different Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. And personally, I mean, I think Doug Peterson kind of got a raw deal in Philadelphia. You know, he is an analytics minded coach.
That's not going to make that much of a difference in terms of like fourth down decision-making and all that stuff.
But like, clearly, I mean, I think he's the kind of coach I'd want coaching Washington as a Washington fan. So it'll be interesting though, him going back to Philadelphia, what kind of reception he gets. I do think this line, I have it priced a little bit too high. I think the Jaguars are 1 point better than an average team on a neutral field right now. I think Philadelphia is 3.3 points better. I make the line a little over 4.
Okay. All right. Interesting. And what an opportunity Doug Peterson stepped into here. I agree with you. I think he maybe should have had a little bit of a longer leash in Philly. But then not only does he get Trevor Lawrence, so one of the most highly touted young quarterbacks in the league, but he's following Urban Meyer. The baseline is competency here. If you're competent, you're going to look like a hero.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this, though. The Jaguars organization has made, well, maybe I shouldn't say just the Jaguars organization, but a misrun organization can make even a good coach look bad.
True.
So
true.
I mean, just look at Washington.
I was going to say Ron Rivera says hello. Before we move on, Rufus, what is your bet of the week?
What is my bet of the week? You know what? I'm going to take New Orleans +2.5 at home against Minnesota.
Interesting. You know, what do you like about that?
Their defense. I love their defense. This is a rematch of that NFC wildcard game from, what was it, 2000 and
yeah, the
2018 season. Yeah, the Diggs catch. But I was kind of high on Winston coming into the season, and I know he hasn't been. I mean, I know that team has not been very good on the offensive side of the ball, but I don't think. I mean, they outperformed Carolina in terms of my game grades. They were better than Carolina last week. They just didn't get the breaks. There was that long Chenault touchdown, some turnovers. I think they're a better team than they played. I don't think they're getting a ton of respect here. And, you know, I think Minnesota's a, you know, very average team, to be honest. I have New Orleans as a point better on a neutral field, and I'm actually, you know, getting points here. And so, you know, my ratings are not gospel or anything like that, but I definitely like the Saints here.
Saints +2.5 at home.
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. And for the listeners, we're now 3-1 on expert picks this season. We lost our Tampa bet last week. That was a tough one because the Tampa injuries really did pile up as the week went on. It's not easy for our experts to make these picks on Tuesday and then, you know, no changes, no nothing until Sunday.
Well, I mean, when you make a bet on Tuesday, you're stuck with that betting ticket no matter what happens. So, right. You know, I don't. Yeah.
Nevertheless, 3-1 on the season. All right, Rufus, I hope you are up for a little bit of cash or trash. I think you did this with me last year, although we might have been calling it something different. Did you
do I do not remember cash or trash, so I don't think so. But I'm excited for this.
All right, yeah, it's very simple. By the way, last week we hit this. I took the Ravens -3. No sweat there. We're now 2-1 in cash or trash. All this is, Rufus, is I give you a bet I like. I tell you why, and then you tell me whether it is cash or trash. You into that?
Let's do it.
All right, cool. This week, I'm going with the Bengals in Cincinnati taking on the undefeated Miami Dolphins. This is a Thursday nighter. I bet it's Sunday night. I have the Bengals -3. It's a -110 bet. Now, listeners may say, why are you doing that, Josh? You already got burned taking the Bengals a couple of weeks ago. And didn't you see Miami beat the Bills? These guys are unstoppable. They've got Tyreek Hill. They've got Jalen Waddle. They are just too fast to be contained. Well, here's why I'm doing it. And Rufus, brace yourself for a very qualitative analysis here. The Dolphins just beat the Bills in the extreme Miami heat. Rufus mentioned this earlier. Guys were getting hooked up to IVs mid-game. Afterwards, Josh Allen was quoted as saying, breathing was tough sometimes. Also, this is huge. Like Rufus said, the Dolphins defense was on the field for 40 minutes. Buffalo ran damn near 90 plays. That means they're out there for what's typically like a game and a half, and it's in extreme heat. So what's the Dolphins' reward for pulling out a major win in really rough conditions? They get to travel to Cincy to play the Bengals on 4 days rest. This is the Thursday night game. Not to mention, Tua's banged up. I was shocked he came back and finished the game last week. Maybe he's back for the Thursday night, or maybe we've got Teddy Bridgewater. Either way, I really like the Bengals here. Yes, since he's got issues, they've only beaten the Jets. They have lost to both the Cowboys and the Steelers. I just don't think they're going to get Miami's best effort here. So I'm taking Cincy -3. Rufus, please give me your answer and then a quick pause before your explanations so that we can edit in a cheesy sound effect. Is this one cash or trash?
I'm going to say cash.
Yes. All right. How come?
But only because then I would go and take Miami +4 afterwards.
Okay. Can you elaborate? Because this is instructive. Why would you do that?
Oh, well, so I, given where the market is right now, the market is 4 at a lot of places. I have enough respect for the market and, you know, relative to like my numbers, and as a bettor, you kind of have to have a lot of respect for a big time market like the NFL market. And so just the fact that you're getting such a good price, -3, which isn't really out there. I would say, of course, it's, I would love that bet right now. My numbers, I don't know how to quantify the coming off of the heat game. I don't even know what to call it. Except, you know, you said the defense is going to be tired, but the offense, they didn't get on the field that much. So the Miami offense could be well rested.
True.
But, you know, if it's Bridgewater instead of Tua, that's clearly a downgrade. But this is a game where, I mean, I again, as I said, I don't know how to quantify it. So you're getting a good price though. So
okay. So yeah. this is a partial cash. Essentially, you would take Bengals minus -3, which is what I have because I played this bet Sunday night. However, if you weren't going to get them at -3, you would prefer to take Miami.
Right. My numbers make the game a pick. I've been low on the Bengals going into the season and gotten lower on them still. You know, I have them as 0.4 points better than an average team. I have Miami full 2 points better than that. So, but again, I don't know how to quantify the fatigue. So
we're going to find out, man. And you did make a good point about the offense. I don't know. I think that defense is going to be gassed, but fingers crossed. We'll see. All right. Let me hit you with a few random ones before I let you go, Rufus. This is more of a comment than a question. I really enjoyed listening to that Gamblers podcast. So for anybody who doesn't know, this is a podcast. It's a series done by David Hill via The Ringer. And they're doing, I believe it's going to be 2 episodes just on Rufus. And to my knowledge, at least all I've heard at this point is part one of it. It is really good. It gets into who Rufus is and how he became such a big deal in the gambling community. And it opens with this amazing scene where Rufus is in a bank vault in Nevada and everybody there knows Rufus by name. And out of a safety deposit box, he pulls out like $170,000 in cash. And then you go to like the Westgate. This is a week before the Super Bowl, a little week and change. So this is when the props are coming out and he's just getting down everything he can with his partners. By the end of it, including other stops, you've got well over 7 figures down and it's just a really, really well executed pod. What did you think of part one, Rufus? And also, are you happy that you agreed to do this?
I thought part one was fantastic. David Hill is so talented at this and he has a lot of tape. Like he followed me around for 2 different weekends. I think he's basically spent like 5 days with me. And so he got to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I was a little bit nervous. I didn't know how exactly it would turn out because he certainly got the unfiltered me. But I loved the scenes, the live scenes that he shot where, you know, me and my partners, me and my brother. And so I'm looking forward to the episode that drops tomorrow, which is going to actually include, I think, a lot of footage from game day. So I think this is all leading up to something, which is, you know, the Super Bowl of props betting as well.
I'm really excited about it. This is, you know, sometimes listeners and I ask like questions just because I'm a journalism nerd. There's a scene in episode one where you're like gathered at like a Vegas bar with a bunch of other, you know, known gamblers, big time gamblers. It was at the Westgate. Okay.
Yeah. This is after right the props came out. Yeah.
Did he have to be like, hey, everybody, I'm recording. Is there some agreement on what he could put on his pod or not? Normally, gamblers are not the most open individuals in the world. So I wanted to know the behind-the-scenes story there.
You know, I believe he, you know, I don't think I ever signed anything, actually.
Or just was he just like, hey, just I want to let everybody know we're recording here. I think he only used audio from you during that.
He asked, I think, everybody whose audio he used, he asked. Like Patrick Everson, for example, made a little cameo on it.
Yeah.
With the Superbook. Zach White, you know, played a bigger role. My brother.
Yeah. Okay. Well, really well done. Again, that's called Gamblers and it's a whole series, but I really, really recommend people check out the Rufus episode and the one that drops.
And tomorrow, all the other episodes. I mean, the one on drag racing down in Orlando was fascinating to me.
I haven't listened to those yet. I listened because I know you, but I'm going to go back and listen to it because David Hill did a really, really, really great job. I can't recommend it highly enough.
My personal favorites from season one are the Gina Fiore, the Belle of the Blackjack Ball, and the Phil Galfond, the poker.
Okay.
One. I really enjoyed those ones especially, but they're all really good.
Yeah, I'm sold. Big recommendation for me. In just a sec here, I'm going to tee you up to plug absolutely anything you want, but I was hoping that you could go a little bit more in depth on some of the new stuff that you guys have up at unabated.com. Most of the stuff is not free. However, I do think that a lot of what you guys offer could be really good for a lot of our listeners, many of whom are trying to become better at gambling. And that's something that I think you guys, you and Captain Jack, really specialize in. Tell us a little bit more about what you have going over there right now, some of these new tools.
First of all, we also have a 7-day free trial. So you can try out all of our premium products. If you don't like it, cancel at any time. So what we have, I'm really, really excited about this NFL props odd screen that we have. And it's not just an odd screen. You can compare odds at, you know, all these US books, but you can also see the value of the points. Like, do you know if, you know, is it good? Is it a profitable middle to bet this wide receiver over 60 and a half yards in one book minus 110 and under 68 and a half minus 120 at another book? And so we have actually a prop simulator. We allow you to upload your own projections, or you can use one of the systems that we're integrated with. And so you can actually simulate these props and actually get, like, see what the expected value is of, you know, based on the simulations at all these different books. So it is extremely easy to use and intuitive, and nothing like it really exists out there. So it not only tells you the odds, but tells you how to find a good bet.
How close is this to, like, the tools that you were already using and building for yourself? Because, for instance, in the Gamblers podcast, they do a great job of explaining how you've always just built models for everything, for all of your bets. That's one of the ways that you've been extremely successful doing what you do. How close is the stuff that you guys are offering on Unabated to that?
These simulations are based on the same data science I use for my Super Bowl props.
It's really cool.
Period. So, yeah.
Were you ever like, I don't know if I should put this out there?
Well, the thing is, it is agnostic to projection. You can put in your own projection. If it's a garbage projection, which it probably wouldn't be, you know, you're going to get results that aren't going to be great, but it's allows you to quantify your opinion. So yeah. If let's say you subscribe to Establish the Run and want to use their projections, you can do those. You can use Yahoo's, you know, whatever you think your projection is. But I think a big, one thing that most bettors don't think about in terms of props betting is how, you know, the difference between the mean and the median for something. So just because a player, let's say, averages a half a touchdown a game, that doesn't mean they're going to score a touchdown in half of the games. There's some games where they'll score two touchdowns potentially. And so in that case, and I think, you know, I think bettors don't all, or recreational bettors, new bettors don't necessarily understand this distinction and the fact that a player is going to go under his average way more often than he'll go over his average, his mean, especially for props that are like low numbered props, such as receiving touchdowns. And so that's kind of a big thing on the odd screen. You can simulate a wide receiver who's projected to have 33 receiving yards on average and still find value betting under 31 and a half receiving yards for him, which is a little counterintuitive.
Yeah, makes sense though. And I love it, man, because it's like every time Captain Jack is on here, every time I talk to Captain Jack, he's always like, you know, I don't want to give you the fish. I want to teach you how to fish. I feel like that's what unabated.com does a really good job of doing. So good stuff, man. I'm looking forward to whatever you guys come up with next. Oh, one more. I love this. Your middle name is Learned.
Yeah.
Rufus Learned Peabody.
Yep.
So good. And your brother's name is what, like Tom?
Tom.
How did that work out?
Don't ask me.
So good. It's a great name, man. It works for you, Rufus. It really does.
I cannot imagine having a different name.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. It would be a crime if you did. I love it. Rufus Learned Peabody. It's so good, man. What are we plugging today? Anything else you want to get out there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to keep plugging Unabated, honestly, and the Bet the Process podcast. But Unabated, like, our odd screen is beautiful. It's simple. It's intuitive. Well, it's not just, it's simple, clean interface, but extremely powerful. We don't just tell you what the odds are. We put it into context. You can see that you can see where there's value by comparing derivative markets within our odds screen, which is something that you can't do anywhere else. And so I absolutely love what we're doing. I think if you try it, it's clearly going to help. It should help your betting. It pays for itself, in my opinion. We also have a great community. Our Discord is, I think there's a lot of really smart people discussing things, and so and it's a very positive community, which is that's not really something that exists that much in the gambling space, and that's something that I'm more proud of than anything, that we have a really positive community of people that are supporting each other. So it's something that's been kind of rewarding to me.
Love it. You guys are stepping up your game with the Bet the Process pod too. I saw you have a nice new setup.
We do. Yeah, we have new producers, a new like social media team. I don't know if it's a team, but we're making moves finally after 5 years of what we've been doing. What's funny is Jeff lost our Twitter password in March of 2018, and so we finally recovered it. but we had literally no tweets for 4.5 years.
That's hysterical, in particular because, in case anybody doesn't know, the Jeff that Rufus is referencing here is Jeff Ma, who is like a big wig at Microsoft.
Well, and the funny thing is, at the time he lost his password, he worked at Twitter.
That's hysterical.
Yes.
Why? he couldn't get it back. Jeff Ma couldn't get his password back.
I think it was laziness.
Okay. Very good. What a way to end this one. I tell you, you are one of my absolute favorite guests, Rufus, and I appreciate you always being willing to come on back, man. Rufus Peabody, unabated.com, co-host of Bet the Process, all around good dude. Appreciate you as always. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Josh. I really enjoy it.
Joining me now, a guy at the forefront of one of the most interesting concepts going in the gambling world right now, in my opinion, something I think we're going to hear a lot more about down the road, Alex Kane, CEO and founder of Sportrade. Thanks for coming on, Alex.
Thanks so much for having me, Josh.
I don't know if you watched The Office, but there's an episode where Michael Scott is looking at the office's budget. You probably know what I'm talking about here. He turns to Oscar, who's a finance guy, and he's like, why don't you explain this to me like I'm 8? And Oscar explains it, and then Michael says, why don't you explain it to me like I'm 5? So let's start there. What is Sportrade? And please explain it to me like I'm 5.
Yes. So your parents give you $10 for a lemonade stand. So you go out and I could literally recite that whole scene. That is a brilliant scene. So what is Sportrade in simplest sense? Sportrade is stock trading meets sports betting. And forget American odds, forget all the things that are complicated about sports betting. If you're someone in the audience that kind of hears all these sports betting ads on TV and you hear parlay and same game parlay and -3.5 and -250, literally throw that all out. What Sportrade is a trading app that allows you, the customer, to trade on sports outcomes like you trade in the stock market. And the prices we use are the probabilities. So take the Eagles this week. They're playing Carolina Panthers, I think. Market thinks they have about a 60% chance of winning, 70% chance of winning. That means the price for the Eagles is 70. And the entire idea behind Sportrade is it's a trading app. It allows you to buy in at a certain price, say $70 for Eagles to win. And as the probabilities change during the game, so does the price. So you buy in at Eagles to win at 70. They go down the field and they score a touchdown. Now the market thinks they have a 90% chance of winning and you sell out. So it's this buy-sell marketplace that allows you to trade on the probability of anything to occur. No more American odds. Price equals probability.
It's, by the way, I mean, the point stands. It's the Jaguars, Philly and Jaguars.
They play the Jags. That's right. They play the Jags.
But the point stands. I thought you guys tweeted out, actually, a really good example of how this could work. Vikings had that last-minute comeback last week. Mm-hmm. If you were on Detroit early, you could have sold at a profit and not even risked anything with what ultimately ended up being the Vikings coming back to win. It's an interesting concept that you guys have going. Take me back. I know you come from the finance world. How'd you come up with this idea?
Well, in between watching Office every other day, which I still almost do, and maybe I should watch more Eagles and less Office because I didn't even know the Eagles had their opponent wrong this week. I swear I am an Eagles fan. I have watched all 3 games so far. I am an Office fan as well. The idea came to be from just someone showed me Robinhood one day when I was at Drexel. I was a finance major at Drexel. I actually never held a job in finance. It was more like a, this is really cool type thing. And I just remember thinking, this is easy, like creating an account and funding it and like, oh, free stock trading. And like, that must be cool. Of course, I never had traded before that. So I didn't really understand how great that was. And then someone showed me sports betting and it was like a spreadsheet. And I'm like, this is like not, I don't understand this. Like, I wish there was a way for me to consume this the way I consume Robinhood. And the idea really came together when I told my dad, who had a friend who used an offshore bookie. This is back before sports betting was legal in Pennsylvania, to place a bet on this like super long shot to win the Masters. Not because I thought he was going to win, but I thought that the market price was wrong. And I think the price was like 1,000 to 1. Which means for every dollar you put down, you could win as much as 1,000 if the player won. And 2 days into the Masters, the player was like 10 to 1. And that's when the idea clicked with me. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I did really well here. I got it 1,000 to 1. It's now 10 to 1. I want to create a marketplace that allows you to basically capitalize on that value in a way that you do in capital markets, which is buy something at some price or at some probability, in that example, about a 0.1%, and sell it at a different probability, in that example, 10%. I would have 100x'd my money based on that movement. And that was the kind of idea behind Sport Trade.
You guys launched in New Jersey only about 2 weeks ago. How have things gone so far?
Things are going really well. We are seeing customers trade during the game. That is like the most important metric for us, is not just customers coming to Sport Trade because we have the best price, which we do. We have very tight prices. And the reason we have tight prices is Sport Trade is an exchange. An exchange means that you can enter your own price, and that competition creates great odds. But more important than that, customers are coming in, placing their pregame bets, but then selling out as the game plays out, and then actually buying the other side in some circumstances. And that's the critical thing behind Sport Trade. We don't make money when customers lose. Think of us like NASDAQ. We only take a commission when you win. We take a commission on each transaction. So it's been really cool to see customers come in, and it's not just who's going to win the game. Take the Monday Night Football game last night. We saw more volume on total points over 39.5 than we did on Giants to beat the Dallas Cowboys. So Sport Trade allows you to trade not just who's going to win the game, but who's going to win the game plus or minus the spread. How many total points are going to be scored soon? Who's going to win the Super Bowl? So it's been going really well so far, and customers have really taken to this totally new activity, which is trading sports. So every time I'm watching the game and there's a huge swing, I come back to the portal and I see a lot more trades. And that's what we like. We like when games are volatile. As you mentioned, Josh, when there's ups and downs, customers are buying low and selling high.
What's the commission that you take from the wins?
So we take a 2% commission on your profits, only if you're profitable. So if you take an example, we had a customer a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, the Atlanta Falcons were losing pretty bad, I think, to the LA Rams. And we had a customer buy the Falcons to win in the fourth quarter at 50 cents. 50 cents, price equals probability, equals 0.5%, less than 1%. Well, as we know how the game played out, Atlanta made a crazy comeback and actually had a chance of winning the game. And that same customer sold out when the price hit about $10. So that customer bought in at 50 cents, sold out at 10, made $9.50. And we took a 2% commission on that, which ended up being, what is that, you know, 20 cents or something like that. So it's a very slim commission. And the critical thing is you only pay if you win. If that customer had held that to expiry, obviously Atlanta did not go on to win that game, they'd be out there 50 cents, but no additional commission because they did not win.
That's a great example. I really want to make sure that our listeners, if they've never heard of Sport Trade before, if they've never even heard of this exchange concept, that they're able to follow along. So that was great. I'm really glad you added that. I'm curious, as you look to grow as a company, and I imagine expand into other markets, what do you see as your biggest challenge going forward?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I think obviously getting onboarding right, and there's a lot of customers that come to our platform that ask, you know, where are, I want to deposit via PayPal. I prefer doing my debit card versus linking my online bank. And I think, you know, we're working to address those things. I think bigger picture, it's if I'm able to sit in a room with somebody and explain to them how this works, we've seen that that works really well, because the easiest way to explain Sport Trade is to put the phone in someone's hand with a funded account and just say, just buy one of anything. Literally just, you want to buy the Eagles and they're trading 30, just buy one. And they buy one at 30, and they watch the Eagles get a first down, and the price goes from 30 to 35. And then they watch the Eagle, Jalen Hurts, get sacked, and the price goes from 35 back to 30. And they go, I got it. So I think the biggest challenge for us is education and how to bring enough customers in a scalable way to have them experience that magic of like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I bought the Eagles at 30. They scored a touchdown. They went to 50, and I sold them. I actually took that money and I put it in on the other side and I went ahead and bought the Jags. So I think that one of our biggest kind of challenges is how do we get enough customers to really experience the magic? Because what we've seen is once customers have that magic light bulb moment, as they say, that aha moment, they're sticking around. They're coming back and they're trading baseball. They're trading college football. This is the first week we actually have golf in the app. And think about how amazing golf is for this. You could buy a guy at 50 cents or a dollar, and he shoots 66 in the first round, and now he's trading $8 and you can sell. So it's getting that customers to that magic moment in a way that doesn't require me being in everyone's foyer or living room.
So this one comes from producer Parrish, who's texting me here. I don't even understand this question, for the record. I know betting really well. I do not know stocks really well. He does. Do you offer leverage / margin? I hope I'm saying that right. I have no idea.
Yes. So it's a great question. Initially, no. All of your trades have to be fully funded. We do allow, you know, and this is a bit more, you know, for the more advanced customer, but we are soon rolling out things like divisional races. So take the NFC East, for example. I would say that the Eagles probably have, and I know I'm an Eagles fan, despite not knowing who they're playing week four, I would say they have probably about a 65% chance of winning the division. The really cool thing about Sport Trade is, unlike any other app, you can actually bet on things not to happen. So you could say, you know what, I don't want to bet 65 to win 35 that the Eagles win. I want to bet 35 to win 65 that they don't win. And so while we don't have margin directly, if you're a customer that likes to bet on, you're a doomsday type person, you would like to bet on the no's, as you bet on no's that are correlated, your account balance will go up. So we do have some of that cross margining based on the fact that, like, oh, this person, you know, thought the Eagles weren't going to win and the Cowboys weren't going to win the NFC East. Well, at most, only one of those teams can win. So we have to credit back one of those bets as a win already, and it would actually increment your balance. It's a way more advanced type feature, but we do have margining for those sort of edge cases. But bigger picture, that is another huge benefit. I mean, think about Phil Mickelson in the 2021 PGA Championship. You know, he was trading $50 or would have been trading about $50, so 50% to win on that Sunday. Think about how many people would say, you know what, this guy's over 50 years old, hasn't made a cut this year. I want to bet no on Phil Mickelson. Well, Sport Trade would have been the only platform to allow you to do that. So it's not just that you can trade. It's not just that the prices are better. It's not just that this is a totally different activity. It's that you can actually do stuff on Sport Trade that you can't do anywhere else. And shorting a player, betting on no, is yet another example of that.
How big of a concern is liquidity? Because you guys are essentially, you need market makers for that, correct?
Yes. So market maker, liquidity is the make or break of any exchange. You imagine going on Uber and waiting for 40 minutes for a driver. You know, you would never open the app again. Imagine if you went and tried to buy 10 shares of Apple, but there was no seller at that price. Everything that we interact with, many things we interact with are marketplaces. And the magic of great marketplaces is that they just work. You don't have to think about like all the complexities that go into making it work. It just works. And I think that's something we really nailed with Sport Trade. We launched just a few weeks ago. And because we partner with market makers, and those are participants that we plug in with, our partners, that come to Sport Trade and say, like, hey, we're going to offer to buy and sell the Eagles throughout the whole season. Every single game they play, every single thing you list for the Eagles, we agree to both be a buyer and a seller at a price 100% of the time. And the magic of that is when we launched 3 weeks ago, and we pressed the button, that first customer that came to Sport Trade, that very first customer, could have bought or sold anything that we were listing. And that is thanks to the partnerships that we have with market makers, and their job is to make Sport Trade hyper liquid. So liquidity is critical to our success. And as an example, if you were to go on the app tonight, the Phillies are playing the Cubs. Phillies are trading about $60 to win. I am a Phillies fan. I don't know if I like that price. Wheeler's starting. The Phillies are on a little bit of a slide. I might like the Cubs over at $40, so 40%. But you can bet up to $10,000 on either side at a great price right now on Sport Trade with zero delay, zero spinny wheels, because we have market makers that are willing to put those prices in there.
Are you guys thinking, this is something that I think is entirely likely and would have a big impact potentially on Sport Trade and other exchanges. Are you banking on the gambling public becoming essentially a little bit more sophisticated in time? Because to me, it is crystal clear why sharp gamblers, people with a financial background, would absolutely love Sport Trade immediately. However, I could also see it being a little bit more challenging for your average football game who is maybe throwing in like one same game parlay a Sunday from their couch. You know what I mean?
100%. I think there is a spectrum of sports bettors. I think exchanges have existed for about 20 years. What we are doing as Sport Trade on the surface level is actually not innovative or new at all. Like the concept of an exchange is as old as time. There's like the first stock exchange in the US was actually the Philadelphia Stock Exchange, and it was launched in 1792. Okay, so that's way before Sport Trade was even a thing. What's unique about Sport Trade is that we are, much like what Robinhood and Coinbase did, we're trying to simplify the overall experience. Betting exchanges have existed for 20 years. And the problem with betting exchanges typically is that they're really hard to understand. It's really hard to go to your buddy on the couch and say like, hey, you got to try this thing because your odds are going to be slightly better. Like that's just not enough of a hook for the common customer to say, okay, I'm going to try Sport Trade. What we've done is we've flipped the entire USP upside down and we've said, you got to try Sport Trade because price is probability and you're going to be able to trade at any point. You're going to be able to buy in at this price. And as the probability changes, it's like your stock portfolio. And what we've tried to do is try to remove all the complexities of how this works and have a customer come in for the very first time, look at our app and say, you know what? I just want to put $100 in the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. Download the Sport Trade app, create an account, fund your account, $100, put $100 on the Eagles. And if the Eagles win next week, I guarantee your $100 is going to be worth more than $100. It'll be maybe worth $110 and you can sell it. And boom, that's it. That is the entire Sport Trade experience. So whereas we do think that we have a lot of USPs like better pricing and more customer protection that customers will enjoy, I just don't think that that's the pitch for someone sitting on the couch. The pitch is more like, hey, I think Jalen Hurts is going to have a really good year this year. You may want to buy him on Sport Trade to win the MVP. Because if he has another good couple games, you're going to be up 30% on your $100 and you may want to sell that. And I think that Robinhood has done such a good job of socializing and democratizing trading to the point where a lot of people now understand it. And all Sport Trade is trying to do is kind of borrow some of those techniques and theories to make, you know, Sport Trade and sport trading as approachable as getting on Robinhood and YOLOing into the next meme stock.
You guys currently offer some major sports, but I believe are looking to expand your offerings in time. Is that right?
Yep. We've had a lot of customers ask about UFC. We've had a lot of customers ask about futures. We've had customers ask about the World Cup, soccer, tennis, golf. We have golf for the very first time this week. What we wanted to do initially, player props is another example. We wanted to start with a hyper liquid experience and really educate customers on how this works. And if someone understands that I can buy the Eagles at, let's say, $70, 70%, I put in my $100 and it goes up because the probability of them increases and I can sell that for $120, that's a really easy next step to take them and say like, well, Jalen Hurts over 2.5 touchdowns is trading $50. Maybe you want to put $100 in on that. And if he throws a touchdown early in the first quarter, that could be worth $175. You might want to sell that. So the idea is to start with the core few liquid markets, then add futures, golf, player props, and over time offer a lot of what you can bet on other sports books, with the key difference being there's always going to be a price. There's always going to be a value. One of the coolest things about Sport Trade is you come on a Sunday, you deposit, let's say, $1,000, and you put $100 into 10 different bets. You come back an hour later, yes, your account balance reads zero, but just like in stock trading, your $1,000 is worth a different amount now because your 10 $100 positions, one could be up 60%, one could be down 80%, another one could be up 250%. And now your $1,000 is worth $1,400. And you may say like, you know what? I want to sell out of everything right now. Take my $1,400, take a deep breath and figure out what I want to do with the 4 o'clock games. That is, I think, something that a lot of customers will love. And nowhere in that pitch is we're an exchange. Nowhere in that pitch is we have better pricing. It's just like this is an experience that you may already understand from trading everything else, investing on Robinhood or Coinbase or Webull or FTX. And you get to do it for something like you can actually see that touchdown that moves you up 20%. Like, oh, I see the touchdown. Oh, my $100 is worth $120. Sell. And that's kind of what we're trying to create with Sport Trade.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. And right now, those markets, real quick, it's NFL, MLB, what else do you have in there? NBA, WNBA, did I see?
WNBA, NBA, college football, college basketball, and golf. And we're going to be adding soccer and futures. And then next year, we're going to be adding player props. And I think player props will be, really fun. I mean, think about that. Like Jalen Hurts over 285 and a half passing yards. And that thing's going to trade and move every single play.
Well, so I absolutely love all of this. And that brings me to my next question. What's the timeline looking like for expansion? I read that I think Colorado is next. Is that right? And when are you coming a little further south of you? I'm in Maryland.
So Maryland's interesting because we've seemed to turn a corner here. And the governor of Maryland has been upset with the timeline of the rollout of mobile sports betting. And there's a world where it could be implemented by the end of this year or at least by the Super Bowl. For us, Maryland is definitely a state we're going to be expanding to. For us, it's a very primitive product right now. It's just on iOS. We don't yet have Android. We don't yet have web. We don't yet have a lot of deposit options. We don't yet have futures and player props and these things. We will. And the idea is to really improve the product and get something out there that customers really love, and then be able to move into other states a little bit quicker, as opposed to grow into other states too quick before we really have that product market fit. So what I can say is maybe not sport trade specifically, but the concept of trading sports, the concept of like what we're coming up with, is going to exist in every state that has legal sports betting at some point. It's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be overnight. But I will say Maryland is definitely a state that sport trade will be expanding to at some point. In terms of timeline, I think it'll be next year at some point that we're in Colorado. And again, it's like, we want to nail this experience. We're already getting a lot of feedback from customers. They want game state data in the app. That's coming by the end of the year. Customers have asked us about charting. So you could go to your friends and be like, look, I bought, the Eagles to win the Super Bowl at 5 and they're at 12. And they would see the chart that shows you that you're up, 140% or whatever. So we want to listen to those customers and get to an amazing product. And then from there, grow our customer base.
Well, I love the idea, man. I can't wait till you're in my neck of the woods so I can try it out myself. And good luck to you. I'm really thankful that you came on the pod to tell us about it. Because like I said, I think this is really something that we're going to be seeing a lot more of in the future. And I wish you nothing but the best. Alex Kane, Sport Trade founder and CEO. Thanks again, man.
Thank you so much for having me, Josh.
There it is, ladies and gents. Thanks to Rufus, Alex, and of course, producer Parrish. Throw and bet this week. Let's go with the Cards. I got it at +2. They're in Carolina. Honestly, you should probably fade me on these throw and picks at this point. We are now 0-3 in this section. Last week, I took the Texans +2.5. They lost by 3 to Justin Fields and the Bears. Fields has 23 completions all season long. He threw 2 picks against the Texans, and we lost our bet by 0.5. That is gambling for you, folks. Anyway, thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing. IG at Rambling and Gambling, and the old email, ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Everybody, have a great week.